Good evening. Greetings to you all in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother Aldwin, for that devotional. I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it because I wasn't thinking about that as I was studying, but I think when we begin to lose our purpose in life is when the cares of life start to look like cares of life. And when we have a purpose in life and we're finding joy and finding fulfillment in service, in following the direction the Lord has given us, then the cares of life don't really feel like cares of life. The title of the message is Handling the Cares of Life. Ben sent me a message the other day wondering if that's what he had given me, or what he had given me for a title, and that's what I had written down. I went back and listened to a previous message then, and it was Balancing the Cares of Life. And so I kind of have a mixture of those two thoughts together throughout, but thinking about the cares of life, and I don't know what they look like to you. I was given this topic and was told that some of the idea that the committee was looking for, I guess, was that the idea of spiritual things, good and right things, spiritual things, and the things of this world, and how do you find your way through all of that? And it's an interesting thought process. I wasn't sure where to start with that, because most of the time, if you read through New Testament church life, it doesn't even reference most of the work life, so to speak, of the individuals. It's talked about mostly from a spiritual perspective. And so, what does that look like? How do you know when you're spending too much time with the cares of life and daily mundane duties? And I want to try to make sure I don't just focus on work or our jobs as men, but the mundane duties of housework as well, and the job that you women serve in. But to get our minds going, I want to think about those categories a little bit of spiritual things and maybe things that are at least not so spiritual. And I'd like to get you involved here a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and actually make a list of a few things. So let's get our minds going a little bit. What are things that we would definitely call spiritual?
Going to church.
Devotional.
Witnessing.
Doing research in Scripture.
Okay, Bible study.
Prayer and fasting.
Prayer. Fasting.
Caring for our families.
Okay. All right, let's let that, and let's go, and let's say, I guess we'll just lay what cares of world, since that's what we kind of have before us. What are things that we would say probably fall more into that category? They're things of the world, things of the flesh, things that we do, but
transportation.
country.
Politics.
Right.
I don't know. You know what it means. This list could go on and on, right? Now, the thing that I want us to think about is that all of our life, all of the things that we do take time. And we only have a certain amount of time, right? And I think that's really the crux of this message, because we have to figure out sometimes, am I going to do this or am I going to do this? Am I going to do this or am I going to do this? And we don't have time to make everything happen. If we go with the title balancing, that implies that there's a certain amount of this that you need to do and a certain amount of this that you need to do. I don't know if you expected me with a title like that to give you some kind of magic formula that says as long as you do this much of this one and this much of this one and this much of this one, this much of this one, you'll get the perfect balance. I hope you all know that I can't do that. I can't give you that formula. We make the assumption that there are spiritual things and there's other things. Hopefully by now your mind has been stirred on that a little bit. Cares of this life seem to be the things that are not spiritual things. What does doing dishes have to do with spirituality? And it's interesting, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, I didn't think through this too far, but it's interesting to me that we even have a scale of spirituality, so to speak. Some of these things, and you think about all these things, and we kind of have a scale. And to prove my point, if you're going to skip church, is it better to do it on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening? Do you see what I mean? We have a scale of which is more spiritual. And I'm not sure that's all wrong, but I think sometimes we might be wrong in our metrics of what that scale looks like. I'm not entirely sure where all of that fits. And we aren't entirely wrong that there is a scale, so to speak. There is a level of spirituality, so to speak. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I believe I wrote down the wrong reference. If it was... Yes, Mark chapter 4 is what I wanted. Mark chapter 4. This is a story of the parable of the sower. Went out and sowed his seed, and I'm going to just take the time to read it and Jesus' explanation of it. So Mark chapter 4, verse 1, he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on the good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. He said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. He said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, and some 60, and some 100. Jesus acknowledged that there are cares of this world. And the cares of this world, in his parable here, choke out the word and destroy, so to speak, the spiritual things. Now, I don't know if he was talking about doing dishes. I don't know how they did their dishes. I don't know how the culture was. Making house payments, all those kinds of things. But he does mention the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke out the word. And so it seems like there were people that had more time for this and less time for this. Again, I'm not sure if these lists are entirely accurate, but the point being that Jesus acknowledged that there are cares of this world that can choke out spiritual things. Go over to Luke chapter 10. In verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Interesting little story. And if you have children that are very old, you've heard them say, well, so-and-so's not working. And that's kind of the picture I get here. Martha comes and says, but Mary's not helping. And Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part. It's interesting that Jesus does not condemn Martha for her desire to serve. Seems as though Martha does have a desire to serve. And we know, and we just heard about that in devotions tonight, that service is a good thing. Service is a way of finding purpose and fulfillment in life. And service is commanded, and it's expected that a Christian will serve, right? And to serve Christ. I can only imagine what an honor that would be to serve Christ. It's the honor that we have, actually, but to serve in serve him in the physical sense that way. But Jesus said that Mary has chosen something better than Martha's service. So there are things that are better spiritually and things that are not as good for us spiritually. 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And so we have the concept of providing for our own. And most of us would probably say that that largely falls into this side of the balance. The cares of this life, the providing a living and business. Now, it's interesting. We have caring for a family, and I wrote that down over here. We'll get into some of this. We are commanded and expected to work. We are commanded to provide for our own. And this, the context of this was teaching Timothy how to be a deacon and when to help the widows, and when to admonish the family to take care of their widows. And that's the difference between the widows and the widows indeed. 1 Thessalonians, back a few pages, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." The idea here is that they labored night and day so that they could support themselves and preach the word. And if you go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he mentions this again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting at verse 6. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow after us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are they which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." So here again we have this concept that you should work and support yourself and your family. And Paul says, we gave you that example. And if you go to Acts chapter 18, we get to see a little bit of Paul living that out. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 3. Paul is in Corinth. "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought." I think we could put in there safely, abode with them and worked. "For by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath." And so you have this example of Paul providing for his own, working, even though he was the evangelist. And so I'm saying all this to say we're not entirely wrong in giving ourselves some kind of a scale of spiritual things. But I want to contrast that point and say we're not entirely right either. We have this tendency, at least I do, and I'm pretty sure we all do, to think of our life, at least very subtly, in boxes. And that I have spiritual things, and then I have things that aren't spiritual things. There's God time, and there's me time. Being a Christian is not about somehow finding the right balance of spiritual things and non-spiritual things. Being a Christian is not about finding the right balance of God time and me time. And that's why I can't give you some kind of formula tonight to tell you how much of each of those to put on the scales. I can't do that. It's not what being a Christian is about. Being a Christian is about giving my whole life to God. And the news is, when you do that, even washing dishes, I think, becomes a spiritual thing. Now, again, we're not entirely wrong in having the scale. There's a concept there. But our whole life needs to be given to God. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And again, here he gives the concept. Seek the things which are above, indicating that there are things which are below. Seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Where's your affection tonight? We could have put a lot more things over here. What are your hobbies? What is your work? What is your, you fill in the blank. You like to be creative. We like to do things. Those things aren't wrong. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And he goes on with that thought. When I give my life to Christ and begin the salvation process in my life of repentance and walking with God, desiring him and crucifying the flesh, then my whole life becomes about him. When my affections are set on things above, the things of the world, the cares of life find their rightful place in purposeful spiritual life. If your work is about you and your financial success, you probably should work less. If your work is simply an extension of your life in Christ, I have no doubt it will find its proper place in the priorities of your life. Same as with everything else. If your goal is to have the cleanest, neatest, tactfully decorated house, it's probably about you. Most of us men probably don't care about that. I'm looking at the ladies. But if your life is about serving Christ, then your house will find its rightful place. And yes, sometimes it may be messy because you took time to sit down and read a Bible story to the children. And maybe that's a trite example. But we need to keep our priorities. And we'll get more on that here in a little bit. But this is true of everything. I need to evaluate, what is my goal in life? What are my priorities? Where is my affection set? And don't just lower your goal. We get good at that sometimes. We just say, well, I had this goal. But yeah, I get it, that's a little over the top, and it's cutting into these spiritual things. So I'll lower my goal, but I'll keep trying to balance these. Don't just lower your goal. Give up your goal. Stop comparing yourselves among yourselves. Seek to please God and Him alone. Our affections, set your affections on things above. Our affections will determine our priorities. They say we make time for the things we want to make time for. And if you're like me, you sometimes wonder if that's true, right? Because you have a lot of things you want to make time for, and they don't all happen. But at the end of the day, we somehow decide what is most important to us, and that's the thing we do. Maybe we don't even consciously process that. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verses 19 and 20. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When I give myself to Christ, when I crucify my flesh, then all of my life is about spiritual things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we know by memory probably. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so when my mind is transformed and I'm a living sacrifice, what are the spiritual things? And what are the cares of the world? I think we need to stop seeing it as something to be balanced. It's all part of a life that's to be lived for Christ. And I hope you don't think I'm just tearing apart your title and throwing it back in your face. It's not my goal tonight. But I sense that tendency in my own life to say, I need to balance this. I have this box over here and I have this box over here. And as long as this doesn't cut in too much into this one, then I'm okay. And that's not the way it works. It's not the way God wants us to look at it. Go to Mark chapter 12. Some more familiar verses. But I really think these verses hold the keys to understanding this subject and many subjects in life. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered him discreetly, and that word discreetly could be translated wisely, or with knowledge and understanding, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And I am intrigued by that. But what are the two greatest commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And when you get done doing that, the cares of this life will find their rightful place. I can just about guarantee you. Because if my life is a pursuit of God and following him and serving him, then the cares of life will find the rightful place. I wanted to mention, and maybe I'll stick that in right here before I go into the last little section here. Another reason that I'm pretty sure that these don't quite fall into the neat boxes we think they do is if you go to Luke chapter 18, you have the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Luke chapter 18, verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see all these spiritual things this man's doing? He's praying, he's fasting, he's tithing. He looks good. Are they spiritual things to him? They are in that box. But are they doing him any spiritual good? You know what the rest of the story says, but let's finish it. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. That Pharisee's spirituality didn't do anything for his spirit. In fact, to that Pharisee, he thought they were spiritual things. He was putting them in that box. But the way God saw it, they were actually in this box. They weren't doing anything to justify his spirit. They were cares of the world. They were things that he was doing out of his flesh to try to satisfy God. And so I think you can safely put the concept of a... I don't quite know how to... You have a spiritual man, a Christian, and you have a carnal man, an unbeliever, a godless man. So this man, this is all about the flesh, even if he thinks it's not. And to this man, this is all about the spirit. I want to spend just a little time yet simply talking about handling the cares. I didn't give you any answers yet, probably. Because life is real. And we do wrestle with the tension in here. Should I stay home from church tonight? For what? And we're weighing these things against each other to try to make a spiritual decision. And the answers aren't always cut and dried, which is why I can't give you the list. But we wrestle with these questions. And sometimes when we wrestle with these questions, the cares of the world start to really feel like cares of the world, and we wish we didn't have to make these decisions. Life does have cares, and they make it easy for us to lose our focus. That is real. Matthew chapter 6, some more familiar verses. Jesus teaches us to take no thought for our life. No man can serve two masters, for either he... Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is God and money. I remember as a young person or a child for a long time, I thought that was God and Satan, because of course you can't serve God and Satan, right? It's actually God and money. You can't serve both. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they don't sow. Which of you by taking thought can add a cubit to his stature? You can't change your hair white or black. Why do we worry about all of these things? I think the basic principle for dealing with the cares of life is simply to trust God. And maybe that's too cliche, maybe that's too easy, but I've found it to not actually be so easy and cliche. Trust God. He will work out the details. In fact, he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, those who don't know God, the unbelievers, they seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And again, I'm not saying here, seek after these things and God will take care of these things. Seek after God. Follow after him. Seek his kingdom. And yes, maybe sometimes that does mean that I need to skip church to take care of family. Where do those things fit on the scale? We need to wrestle with that. Seek after God and he will fill in the blanks. One of my favorite quotes, I think, of all time, and I may have given this here before, but those who let everything in God's hands will soon see God's hand in everything. And I believe that because I've experienced that. When I'm willing to let go of the cares of life and say, God, it's up to you. It's in your hands. You can work it out. Then soon I start to see God's hand moving in everything because I've left everything in his hands. And so whatever happens, God's moving. God's working things out. We could look at Hannah. I don't think for the sake of time. Well, let's go there. 1 Samuel 1, I'll just pull two or three verses out of it. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Someone who was very encumbered by care. We know what the problem was. Hannah had no children. And Hannah goes into the temple to pray. Verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vows this vow that she will give the child back to God. And verse 12, Eli sees her and says, Hannah, you shouldn't be drinking so early in the day. And Hannah talks with Eli, and Eli answered and said, verse 17, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And one of the blessings that I have seen in Hannah is that she took her cares and she poured them out in anguish to God. And she got up and went away and ate and drank and went about her life. Can I do that? Can you do that? Pour it out to God and let it in God's hands and walk away and continue life. See, if you're like me, when we have this thing that's a care and it's troublesome and bothersome, we kind of want to keep it being bothersome, and we kind of want everybody else to know how big of a burden we're carrying because this thing is bothersome. It's not what Hannah did. She gave her cares to God and she went her way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 yet. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. I believe I wrote the wrong reference again. Let's see if it's 1 Corinthians. No, I'm not sure what my reference was. The idea is, I'm not even sure what the. Here it is. Sorry, I was at the wrong. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5. Of such an one I will glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but in mine infirmities, in my cares, in my troubles, in that distress. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth to be, or that he heareth of me, And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, the cares of life feel like cares of life when we feel like we can't reach around. We can't make everything happen that's on our plate. God says, trust me, I'll take care of it. I can make it happen. And no, maybe some things will fall off the edges. That's okay. That's okay. That's normal. But God will work his work in us. Conclusion, there is no magic formula to balance the cares of life and spiritual things. And the solution that I present to you tonight is simply to devote all of your life to God and wrestle with him in finding those proper priorities. Place him first in your life, serve others, and whatever time you have left over after that, God will help you figure out what to do with it and keep it in its rightful place. God bless you as you endeavor to do that.